Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there and happy Saturday. Welcome to CPR Radio. Come back to life with us. My name is Heather McCray, and I am your host today. I am a coach healer with a master's degree in special education. I'm an ordained Madonna minister, a Kabbalist, and a certified Jigen and Reiki practitioner. I am a coach healer, and what that means is I work with each person to help you celebrate your uniqueness, to help you live out and fulfill who you truly are. Give me a buzz. You can email me anytime at heather@processdifferently.com. You can check out my website, which is Heather McCray. Last name is spelled M-C-C-R-A-E, heathermccray.wordpress.com. The name of our show, again, is CPR. And my guest today is somebody I just really, really love a lot. Her name is Laura Overstreet-Veering. And Laura is both a coach and a consultant in Atlanta, Georgia. And Laura has a tremendous background and has done coaching for years. She has taught classes. I took the Artist's Way with Laura, which is how I met her years and years ago. And it was just such a wonderful class. She's taught a bunch of different classes. Another class I took with Laura was Love Your Body, Love Your Life, which was just a fabulous exploration for women. And I can't say enough about Laura and what she does. So what I'd like to do is just go ahead and bring Laura on, and we can spend as much of our 30 minutes as we can just chatting and exploring. Laura, are you there?
I'm here, Heather. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on today. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Thank you.
Laura, tell me about True Voices and what you're up to lately. About Risk a Day and all that stuff, because it's just wonderful.
Okay, let's see. Well, True Voices is a coaching, consulting, and creative agency that empowers people, women primarily, but I've had some amazingly delicious male clients, but that empowers people to be themselves out loud, to find out who they are, and then to love who they are, and then to be that. My little buzz phrase is learn, love, live, lead. So we learn about ourselves, we learn to love ourselves no matter what we find in the learning, then we live the life that only we can live, take up the space in the global puzzle that's only ours. And by doing so, we lead others to do the same. So that's what True Voice is about. I do it mostly through coaching and some consulting, such as teamwork, consulting work, and also through classes, workshops, retreats, and art installations and experiences. So I've been coaching unofficially since 99, officially since 2001 when I got trained and certified. And I have a lot of tools in my tool belt, but what I discovered about 4 or 5 years ago, to try to answer all your questions, is a tool that I call Risk a Day. And I learned kind of backwards way that I'm kind of a risker. And I don't mean that I bungee jump and skydive, because you would not find me doing that, quite frankly. But I take risks of the heart. I risk for intimacy. I risk for connection. I risk for personal development, for spiritual evolvement, if you will. So, and also taking risks in any of those areas is holographically good for one's life. So what I mean by that is if I take a risk in my business, for instance, then it's going to build my courage muscle regardless of where I use it next, whether it be in a personal relationship or in writing a blog or, I don't know, going somewhere new by myself. So the Risk a Day process is just that. It's a tool that I encourage my clients to use and that I use myself that helps people set intentional goals every day, and I don't mean just like today I'm going to make 5 cold calls, unless, of course, that's for you a risk, but to set an intentional risk that you will take that day, and then
right.
do it, because regardless of what one gets as a result of taking that risk, one gets a reward, because you have honored the promise to yourself to do that thing. So I could go on, Heather, I could probably take up the 30 minutes talking about this, and you would never get another word in edgewise. So why don't you say something? I mean,
well,
I'll give
I
you
just,
an opportunity to talk at your show.
Well, you know, I mean, I think I've known you for about 12 years now, and you know, one of the most important things, Laura, that you ever said to me, and I may have even been during Artist Way years and years ago, was that there is, I mean, as it applies to me personally, that there's a Heather-sized hole in the universe and I'm the only one who can fill it.
Yes.
And that is such a thing to claim. And in terms of your Risk-A-Day program, I mean, I just, for me, it's all connected. I mean, I get so enthusiastic about your work because you've coached me before. And
mm-hmm.
of all of the, I mean, and, you know, we have a whole circle of coaches as friends. And one of the things I really love about you is that not only are you nurturing, but you're such a great coach in terms of encouragement. I mean, a lot of times folks with a background like mine that has involved so much abuse and all that other stuff, you are so encouraging, even about taking little tiny risks.
Yes. Yes, pretty much. If there's something you want and it feels like a really big risk, there are always steps you can break it down into, smaller, baby, tiny, itsy-bitsy steps to build a courage muscle as you go, but also to keep you on the path to going for that thing that you want. You mentioned the word encouragement, Heather. I love that word. You know, the word courage itself comes from the French and Latin, but the French used it originally to mean from the heart.
Oh, that's so great.
Cœur, of course, is French for heart, as you know.
Right.
So to encourage is to hearten, to fill with heart. And you hear me talk about the courage muscle, which for me is the heart. And how risks are so intertwined with that is, number one, of course, they take courage. But number two, I encourage people to take risks that are in pursuit of a heart's desire. So the bigger the desire, the bigger the risk. Because, of course, you may or may not get it, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that also because for people like me and other folks that have done 12-step work, part of this also is learning how to build a track record of trusting yourself.
Absolutely.
Having a coach like you who operates the way you do on your side, who's someone with an understanding of 12-step work, who encourages people to take it, like incremental steps, because I think of the ADHD piece also, and in ADHD in women especially comes across a lot of times as overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for somebody like me who's an adult woman with ADHD who also, you know, has big dreams, big goals, and all that other stuff, working with you is an opportunity to break all of that down into just bite size, you know, using your Risk-A-Day journal. Today only, what's today that can bring me closer to the big thing?
Yes. And I'll tell you, it's kind of, I hate to use this word because it's really a quote-unquote bad word, but it's kind of addictive in a good way, that once you start honoring promises to yourself, once you start building that self-esteem, that track record, as you said, then it gets easier and easier. And I've even had clients who participated in the risk-a-thons have said, you know, oh, my gosh, I took 4 risks yesterday. It felt so good. I just kept going. So it doesn't have to be only one risk, but I do suggest at least one risk. And, of course, today my risk is talking to you.
Can you say more about the risk-a-thon?
Yeah. The risk-a-thon I generally have done about once a year, and I'm considering doing it twice this year, but it's 28 days. It actually is 30 days. On the first day, we kind of set the groundwork, and on the last day, we celebrate. But the 28 days in between are days where people commit to really working the quote-unquote program, Risk a Day program. They can either get a journal or not, but they commit to write down every day what they're going to do, and then either that they did it and what they learned, or that they didn't do it and what they learned. And the way it is a risk-a-thon is that not only are they doing that out in their lives, they're calling in once a day and checking in about what they did and what they learned and how it felt, you know, how they feel empowered or how they, you know, need support even, if that's the thing. And then they think about what their risk is for the next day. And then so it gathers a lot of momentum for people to really go for what it is they want.
See, that to me is just phenomenal, because it's taking ideas into action and really being grounded.
Yes.
Well, because, you know, I mean, you're a very creative person, too, and you know that when you're dealing in the realm of creativity, you know, ideas, you know, people can talk a good game, all that other stuff, but when it comes down to actually doing the mundane things or taking that risk, whether it's, you know, applying for a license for something or even mm-hmm. talking to somebody to get information about starting a new business or something like that, that's a risk also.
Yes. And like you said, that baby step it may not be a risk in the purest sense of the word. Like, well, let me back up a second. For me, in this context, a risk has to have three things going for it. One, there has to be some sort of desire, or why do it? Two, there has to be an unknown outcome. Pardon me?
I'm agreeing with you. Right. If it doesn't connect to your passion, what's the point?
Right. If you don't get it, then who cares? So it's not a risk.
Second
one is the unknown outcome, and because it wouldn't be scary if we knew how it was going to turn out. And the third is that piece of fear. There has to be some level of fear. And so the example I think I give in the book is I wanted to have coffee. I wanted to do business with the city of Decatur. I wanted to do some coaching for them. And I also really wanted to get to know the mayor, because he just seemed like such a nice guy. He would always wave, and, you know, he was friendly at the business meetings and, you know, Decatur Business Association and all that. So
sure.
I made a commitment to myself to take the risk of asking him to coffee. So, and of course, my mind went, you know, crazy with all the what ifs about what if he thought I was a lunatic, or what if he thought I was a stalker, or what if he didn't, you know, kind of, what if he did, what if I was an idiot, what if I, you know, all
right,
those what
right.
ifs.
Right.
But it was, the point I wanted to start to make earlier was that even looking up the phone number to the mayor's office in the city of Decatur was a baby step. Now, it didn't follow the rules of being a risk, because I knew the outcome. I mean, I know how to look up the phone number, and I know I'm going to find it. And it isn't all that scary, but it is associated with moving closer to a desire. And that's what
right.
makes it, you know, one of those baby steps. So that's an example of one of those. And may I just
that's
finish
such a good
this story?
One too. I'm sorry, go ahead.
May I just finish this story? So I met with it. He said yes, and we had coffee, and we had a lovely conversation. And thus far, I haven't gotten any business from the city of Decatur. But what I began to realize was I got the reward immediately because I made the phone call. And then I got a result of him saying yes. And then I got the result of him showing up and us having it. I choose to believe that the resolution has not yet occurred. So there's a little pattern that I like to encourage people to do. It's one I, four R's, and another I. So the first I is introspection. What is it you most desire? What is it your heart desires? What is it you want to have happen today that you can move toward making happen? So it doesn't have to be the grandest desire ever, but it can be something even small to start with. So introspection. And then and making that commitment to yourself. Then taking the risk. Then receiving the reward of having taken the risk. Then acknowledge the result of it, since the reward and the result are two different things. Then there's resolution,
sure.
how it works out in the long run. And then finally there's integration, learning what did you learn from that? What do you want now? How would you like to move forward from here? And so it's kind of a circle, a spiral, if you will, of working through risking and choosing risks and all of that.
And it sits to me as a Kabbalist, it's such a wonderful way to set a foundation for something bigger. And
yes.
When you were talking about the baby steps, for me, are like all of the bricks that go into the foundation or the rocks or whatever it is you're building, you know, whatever
mm-hmm.
metaphor you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I was laughing when you were talking about all the things you're afraid of because, you know, our minds work very similarly. And when you said, oh, does he think I'm going to be a stalker? That would be me too because, you know, I get very enthusiastic and, you know, you worry if people are going to misunderstand. And
mm-hmm.
and I agree with you that as a Kabbalist, what I would say was that by taking that risk to look at the number, to make the call, to have that meeting, which in itself I agree is a reward, what you did was, as you know, to say it differently, what you said was to build a foundation for something that's coming that hasn't come yet.
Nice. I like that.
You know, the foundation is there. You've created an authentic connection with him. And you've laid the groundwork for whatever the next thing that's going to come from that. So I just am so excited, and I hope that can you say the I's and the R's and the A's one more time so that people can take notes?
Yes, it's an I on either side of four R's.
Okay.
So introspection, risk, reward, result, resolution, integration.
That's phenomenal. That is phenomenal. Now, did you, how long ago, you had a book come out. How long ago was that?
Gosh, I think, let's see, this is 2012. I think late 2010, October maybe of 2010, if I just haven't lost a year, but I think that's right. And it's called the Risk-A-Day Journal. And I, you know, when I give speeches and stuff, I usually have a handful with me in case people want to buy them. But I mostly just have a website now where people can go and purchase them. And I have it in a few stores around town and around the country, actually. But it's not something I work hard to promote. It's just if people are interested in the tool, I make it available.
Laura, can you give folks your contact information so that they
sure.
can reach you?
My email address is Laura, that's L-A-U-R-A, at truevoices.com. And that is also my website, truevoices.com. And a couple of other things. One, there is a blog called riskaday.com, where I and several other women write, it used to be every day, but I don't know, everybody's not writing every day now. So we probably have a post, six or eight times a month on there, so it's not like you're going to be bombarded with emails, but it's these different women's experiences with risk, so it's really quite cool. And then the page where one can get a copy of the Risk-A-Day Journal is www.theriskadayjournal.com. So it's all one word, no hyphens, no nothing, theriskadayjournal.com.
Mm-hmm. That is phenomenal. So let me ask you something. Given that I know that you have a background in theater and music, and we were talking before this show about how the artist's way has informed your life, I know.
Yes.
But also your coaching practice. Can you talk a little bit about the artist's way? And I know you're not teaching a class right now, but I mean, I can speak for me personally. When I first met you, I think that was the first class I took with you, and it was such an amazing experience.
Well, it's an incredible book. It's an incredible process. People can work through the book on their own. I just haven't seen it be successful very often, and so that's one of the main reasons I led classes. I called myself an artist's way evangelist there for a while. I just thought everybody should take it. How do I say this? It opened my eyes. It was my first foray into coaching before I even knew there was a coaching profession, because I was teaching it and people were having ahas and setting goals, and they asked me to work with them privately on their goals. And so that's what I was doing, calling myself a creativity coach. And then I found out there was a profession called coaching. That's when I got trained and certified. But the thing about it for me, I will tell you, it changed my life in so many ways. It broadened my definition of creativity, my definition of artist. It began my whole philosophy. It was the beginning pieces of my whole philosophy that we are the unique intersection of our authenticity, our creativity, and our divinity. And that at that unique intersection is our unique space in the global puzzle. And Heather, when you were talking about there's a blank-shaped hole in the world that only Heather can fill, that was also the beginning of it. And another really big thing that the Artist Way said to me, which at the time, now it seems so obvious to me, but at the time blew me away, because I was raised in a traditionally Christian home, and went through a lot of processes in my life where I challenged that, and I feel like I've sort of come to where I'm happy now with my unique brand of, it's like Laura Anity or something. But this thing, it was Mary Daly, who was a theologian, said, and it was quoted in the Artist Way book, the way we are created in the image of our Creator is that we, in turn, are meant to create ourselves. So
that is so beautifully said, I can tell you that as an initiate in the Modern Mystery School, that is the biggest precept, is that we're all created to be creator gods and goddesses and to take responsibility for that.
Yes, absolutely. I'm giving a speech next month down at Georgia Southern University, and the topic of the talk is, the title of the talk is Creativity, Our Right and Our Responsibility. Because it's what we're here to do. We have a right to be ourselves, to be authentic, to say what we think and feel, to go for what we want, to get what we want. But it's also our responsibility to do that, because those dreams, those values, those passions are in us for a reason. They're not in there to be a cruel joke. They're in there to guide us to that space that's only ours, to being who we are authentically. I could talk about that topic all day long too. I hope that the people at Southern are expecting that 2 hours I'm given is going to be chock full.
I think that's quite a wonderful gift that you're giving them. I mean, like I said, I'm having worked with you as a coaching client. I mean, to get 2 hours of la-la time is really something. Because, again, the amount of encouragement that you give people and real authentic respect, and, I mean, I'm a big fan for a reason, because, the work that you do is authentic and it's grounded, and it's not just, up in the realm of ideas, because having, being such a creative person yourself, I mean, you paint, you draw, you act, you sing, how easy it is to just slip up into your head and not be real and grounded. And I think one of your gifts is helping other people learn how to get comfortable doing the legwork to support the creativity.
Yes, and to keep the legwork connected to the passion, so that it's not just legwork, the sake of doing, yeah.
Right, because, I mean, either one ends up being not very satisfying. It's fine to have ideas, but if you don't do anything with them, that doesn't feel very satisfying.
Right.
But at the same time, if you're just running around being busy just because you think you're supposed to be, that's not really satisfying either.
Exactly. And in fact, when I first did my coach training, they talked about what we at the Coaches Training Institute were taught was that we as coaches were helping our clients both deepen the learning and forward the action at the same time, for the very reason you just said, if all we do is deepen the learning, then what good is just navel gazing? You know, it's not very satisfying, and it doesn't take us anywhere. And if all we're doing is just forwarding the action, that's not sustainable either, and also not fulfilling. So what a great insight, Ms. Heather.
Well, Laurie, you said it really well, because you're dealing with the realm of both and,
yes.
You know? I mean, and also going back to, you know, Kabbalistic ideas, to not be in the earth plane, which is Malkut, which is today grounded here talking to you, and to be all stuck up all in the tree in another one of the sephira, just kind of meditating and, you know, contemplating your navel and having all these great thoughts isn't really helping anybody on their progress. Because
mm-hmm.
one of the things that I know, I remember the first time I heard that Marianne Williamson quote about, you know, what we're afraid of isn't our darkness, it's our light.
Yes.
And you do such a great job of living that out and encouraging other people to do the same, because you are really connected to the idea of how everything we say and do and think and feel has a ripple effect. You know, I quote on Facebook that Indigo Girls song, you know, One Perfect World, we get to be a ripple in the water, we get to be a rock that's thrown.
Yes. Absolutely. And the thing is, Heather, we are having an impact on our world, whether we know it or not, whether we are conscious of it or not, whether we are choosing, overtly, awarely choosing to be a positive impact or not. Just like our being, me sitting right here at my desk, is having some kind of impact on the world. And so I might as well be creating the kind of world I want to live in. And the kind of world I want to leave for the people after me. You know, as you know, not to choose is to choose.
Yep, that's well said. Yep. That's beautifully, beautifully said. Laura, we have a couple of minutes left.
Gosh, that went
fast. Do you have anything that you really want people to know?
Okay. I will say that I actually have some spots in my practice for a few more clients. So that's important. Just want to get that out there as a businesswoman. And the other
thing, I can tell you, anybody who gets you as a coach is blessed and to get ready to get busy. Like
thank
in terms
you.
Of really getting something done.
Thank you, Heather. And the other thing want to say, the other thing I'll just say is that exactly what we've been saying here is that you, this is to the listeners and, you know, to you too, Heather, and everybody out there, including myself, you are something precious, something special. You are unique and unique for a reason. So the more you can embrace your authenticity and live in that authenticity, creating from it and knowing that you are divine in origin, the more meaningful your life can be, more fulfilling, more satisfying. And you deserve that. And my hope is that you will give that to yourself.
Laura, thank you. That was beautifully said. Now, you said that you would join us in the chat room after the show. So please join us at Blog Talk Radio, at AuthenticURadio.com, at the show website here in the chat room. And Laura and I will be there with Michelle Arbeau, our producer, and we'll chat. Laura,
okay,
thank
wonderful.
You so much. Love and light
thank
to you. I
you.
Appreciate
love
you.
Too.
Okay,
bye.
Goodbye. I just want to thank again my friend Laura Bearing, who's just phenomenal, and I wish you all many blessings of light and love this Saturday, and I encourage you to find your authentic voice, to honor your authentic voice, and to celebrate who you uniquely are, because you matter. I love you, and I bless you, and I think you have a great Saturday. Bye-bye.